And this is the coordinator. I would like to remind all parties that today's conference is now being recorded.
Thank you, Wendy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group Call on Thursday, 23rd of January. On the call today, we have Qing Chao, Justin Xu, Jennifer Chong, Jim Galvin, Ephraim Percy Kenyan-Nito, Pitinan Kurmun Patana, Vinay Kumar Singh, Patrick Lenihan, Peter Rinforth, Rudy Vansnick, Peter Green, and Mai Sushuyapim Siriwet. We have apologies from Chris Dillon. And from staff, we have Julie Headland, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Julia, and I'll just pass things along to Rudy, and the agenda is up in the Adobe Connect room for your reference, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Julie and Julia, for helping us in taking this call off. I think we have to check and go around to see if there are any changes in statements of interest. Is there anybody having changes to announce? I don't see any for the moment, so I presume we can go to the next point of the agenda, the review of the draft working plan. I suppose that everybody has had the time to go through the work plan that is actually shown in the whiteboard of the Adobe Connect room. Are there any questions, comments, things to add to that work plan? Okay, I see Amar. Yes, Amar, you have the floor.
Hi, Rudy. This is Amar. Just the finalizing the stakeholder group constituency templates, I see the deadline is today. Are we set on the draft? I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to go over the document that Lars sent yesterday, and I do believe we still have to work on one for the GAC. So regarding the work plan, I don't know if we're going to be able to finalize that today or not, so unless others have other thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar, for this information. Indeed, the document we received from Lars seems quite good to me. And indeed, one of the groups we need to
point a finger on
is
the GAC.
I hear some echo, myself twice. So if someone has speakers on, please mute your mic. Okay. Yes, if someone has an idea of how we can get the GAC a bit more involved, I know that during the NCSG call, and it's something that is on the table for the DNSO call tomorrow, it's about there is a work group or work activity going on in looking into how GAC and DNSO could work closer together. I see Julie, do you have any additional information?
This is Julie Headland. I don't have information on that particular thing, but I would mention concerning working with the GAC, the template that Lars has sent around has, that can be used and modified also for SOAC outreach. So that would not be confined to just sending out to stakeholder groups and constituencies, but Also, we could send it as an official request for information to the GAC as well. And I think it would be quite appropriate for this group to reach out to the chair of the GAC and request their engagement. I would say I don't know how easy it would be to get a meeting with the GAC, say, face-to-face in Singapore, but it's certainly something we can request. I know usually in at the ICANN meetings, their schedules are quite tight, so it can be quite difficult to get, you know, to get on their schedule. But at the very least, we can modify the letter slash input template and have that sent to Heather to get the ball rolling and engage that group.
Thank you very much, Julie. I see Amar and Ching being in the queue. Yes, Amar, you have the floor.
Sorry, I was on mute. This is Amar. Thanks, Rudy. Just to clarify, the GAC GNSO consultative group is not something that were discussions on specific working groups and PDPs is going to take place. Right now, this group is only concerned with developing a framework of cooperation and early engagement with the GAC on PDPs, but it's not somewhere. It's not at the stage yet where we can start discussing specific PDPs at all. It's a relatively new initiative, and it will hopefully set a framework that would be helpful in the future. But at this point, I would recommend, like Julie said, that we sort of modify the letter to the SOs and ACs to sort of invite GAC members to hopefully, even individual GAC members, we need a statement from the GAC as a whole, but maybe just individual statements from individual GAC members who have an interest in translation, transliteration of contact information, and get their take on it. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar, for the clarification and additional information. And I think that our working group, our PDP working group, could be a good sample of a close relationship between GAC and GNSO in the future. I see also Ching has the floor. Are you muted, Ching? We don't hear you. It looks like he has some audio problems. Well, I will move on to Wanawit till Ching has figured out the issue of his audio. Yes, Wanawit, you have the floor. Like we have some audio problems with some of the participants. You're on mute now, one of which, so you have to unmute. I hear some noise. Yes? Can you speak so that we can hear you? It looks like we have some audio problems. Maybe we can have a check from that if a dial out would be easier to get them on. I presume that it is in relation to the invitation letter and the outreach letter that we are talking about and the relation to the GAC. Oh, I hear
Hello, this is Ching. Can you hear me now?
Okay, Ching. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Rudy. Thanks. Hi, everyone. I'd just like to actually to echo what Emmer and Rudy, you just mentioned about this GNSO working group on getting the framework for the earlier engagement with the GEC. And as you all know, that every ICANN meeting, there's a chance for the GNSO council itself to meet with the GEC. So I will assume that if we are able to get a time slot with the GEC and provide the update, that will be the best way to channel the update of this working group. But if not, there's always a chance for the council. When the council meet with the GEC, we shall be able to let them know about what we have been working on. Then this is definitely one of the area of focus. Thinking at this moment is because this is related to the overall who is review as well, and some of you here may recall that the who is issues, in particular the accuracy issue, has been something that GEC really wants a something to be done from the registrar side. So we would also need to be very, careful and sensitive. Just about not to backfire the issue to us when we talk to them, making sure that there's something that concrete and understand where GEC is actually is looking for before we talk to them. Just my two cents. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ching. Indeed, this is quite interesting approach. And as I see in the chat room also, that it would probably be very good if we could have our PDP on the agenda for the GEC GNSO meeting in Singapore, so that we can invite individual GEC members in our discussion, especially those that are, in our case, concerned stakeholders, as they will be in the non-Latin script world. I think that it is really important that we get these folks in our discussions, at least giving us some advice on how they see things happening in their country. I don't know if one of it has audio now or he has something to say. I see that there is indeed a mention that there was a contact with Heather, with the chair of the GEC, if I'm not wrong, and that there was some interest in what we are doing. Before going to finalize the letter itself, do we agree on the working plan, and especially the dates that are in the working plan? Do we stick to these dates, or is there any question about eventually changing one of the proposed dates? Has someone any comments to add to that? Yes, Anna, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rudy. I would suggest that we postpone the letter to the stakeholder groups and constituencies for another week, and perhaps within this week also try to come up with a letter to the GEC and hopefully approve them both together on next week's call and send them out after that. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. Yes, I'm taking note of that request. That would, in fact, extend the deadline also with 1 week, which is still before the Singapore meeting, and I think that wouldn't be any problem that we extend it with another week. Is there any objection to postpone with another week so that, in fact, the letter would be sent out on the 31st of January? I see Lars hand. Yes, Lars, you have the floor.
This is Lars. Thanks, Rudy. Just a quick question on the clarification, so I get this correct for the GAC letter. I'm very happy to put together a draft and send that around. What do you see the key difference between that and the letter to the constituencies? You want the letter to say to ask for time, the face-to-face time during Singapore, because the letter we send out normally goes to, as Judy said earlier, obviously to the SO and ACs too. So they would always go to the GAC anyway. And so an additional GAC letter would be sent out, or a modified letter of this that includes a request for face-to-face. Is that correct?
Thank you. Yes, I think that is the proposal that we, in fact, join in kind of invitation to have a face-to-face meeting in Singapore in order to enable us to explain the reasoning why it's useful to explain the difficulties that we would encounter in doing our job. Yes, Amar, you have raised your hand.
Yeah, thanks, Rudy. And yes, Lars and Rudy, I do believe what you said is something that should be included in the letter. But I would also, and this is just me, I would also sort of tweak the request for input. Regarding the GAC, personally, I'm not necessarily looking for a statement by the GAC. I'm looking for individual responses from GAC members, especially those coming from countries that don't use a Latin-based script in their language. So I'm actually thinking maybe we could get more than one response from GAC members, sort of just representing their own perspectives on what they think and what their views are on transmission, transliteration of contact information. And sure, within we're still going to be presenting the charter questions, but I still think it would be helpful to sort of get those responses at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. Indeed, it is quite important that we are not awaiting till the GAC has a final decision on this, because I consider that that would be after the summer holidays somewhere. I prefer also to have a sooner participation by those individuals that are really helpful in the languages that we don't manage ourselves, and where we know that due to certain legislation and jurisdiction, translation is maybe an issue in itself. So I consider that personal engagement from GAC members I'm really looking forward to. Lars, I see your hand up. Are you still asking for the floor? Okay.
Thank you. Yes, no
problem, Lars.
Just a quick comeback. Or response rather to Anna. I think that's a great idea. I think the to reach out to individual GAC members. From what I've gathered, I've spoken to Olaf Nordling, who's here in the Brussels office and who deals with the GAC from a staff side, INSO staff side, or policy team staff side rather. He said the response he expects if this group were to ask for a face-to-face meeting. I mean, this is obviously, you know, just what is thought, so we never know. But what he expects is that probably will say that this should be slotted into the GNSO council meeting with the GAC, which obviously would make it more difficult to present something of a longer sort. And so when Ahmed talked about contacting individual GAC members, I was wondering whether the group can maybe on the list identify countries or individual GAC members that they think might be helpful in this matter, And we write a letter to the chair and also indicate in the letter that we will also be contacting individual members on their personal views, because that's or their, you know, their country's views or the administration they represent, rather than the GAC as a whole, because as Ruby said, to get an answer from the GAC is always very difficult, to put it carefully. But so if the group can come up with a list of countries they would like to contact, I think that might be useful to sum it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Lars, for this information and this proposal. I'm really liking that idea too. I see also Peter having his hand up. Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, just a practical question. If we can extend the decision to send out a week, that's good. But where there will also be some minor corrections, additions. So when can we see the final letter to send out? Is it possible to have it at least on Friday?
Well, we have the letter actually on the whiteboard, so I don't know if you all have been looking at that document that was prepared and sent by Lars. Are there any comments or additional remarks to that document, so that we can at least finalize with the approach of the document and the content of the document itself, rather than deciding on the date?
Rudy, if I can just add, this is Lars. Petter, it also should be in your inbox. I sent around, as Amit said earlier, yesterday. So you should have received a copy of this as well on your computer.
Yeah, sorry. I have it. I thought there may be, from the discussion today, some minor changes. Otherwise, it's okay.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you, Petter. Yes, indeed.
We can, whatever the group decides, I don't think, I speak for Julie here too, you know, there's no problem to send this back tomorrow, and then I don't think so. That should be doable.
Okay, thank you, Lars. So what I would like to know is there anybody having some extra comments on the content of the letter? If not, then we could at least consider that document being okay for the larger group SONAC, so that in fact we don't have to come back on that one, and that we only look into the letter specific to see for the GAC. Is that okay for everybody? I see agree from Heather. If I don't see any hands up or other arguments in the chat, I will consider that we agree on the existing document with regards the SOS and AC, and we will have a check tomorrow on the letter that would be proposed to send to the GAC. Yeah, I have a lot of echo hearing myself twice, and that's not twice. Hearing myself once is more than enough. So I think we have then clarified the work plan itself and the timing in it, with the exception that there's just 1 week delay for the letter, and all other plans stay as they are. Sure that we will have some changes in the future once we are going more in-depth in the other aspects of our work to do. So I would like to come to point six of our agenda. It's the discussion we launched last call already about the list of questions that Chris, in fact, has elaborated in the beginning and would help us in clarifying the targets and objectives. If I'm not wrong, we are back to the question of who gets access, as that is a primer answer we need in order to address I see from Julia that it cannot hear me. Is that correct?
Rudy, this is Julia speaking. We can hear you, but I can hear a very, very big echo. Oh, even when I'm speaking now, actually.
Exactly.
Someone may put their speakers or their mics on the Adobe Connect if they're on the phone line at the same time, please.
So I'll try to see if the echo is gone.
I'm not. This is Julie. I'm not sure if people understand, but if you are on Adobe Connect and you are on the teleconference, you must mute your computer microphone. That is what's causing the echo. Everyone, take a moment.
Or Julie, you should stop working from a cave. That's the other option.
This is Julia speaking. Patrick, is your Adobe Connect speaker on, and you're on the phone bridge as well?
Julia, can you eventually mute Patrick in that case?
Apparently, yes, this is Julia. Apparently, the echo is coming from Patrick's line.
Really not easy to work if you hear yourself twice or three times or four times speaking.
This is Julia. I will try to, with the operator, what can be done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Julia. So I'm going back to the question, the list of questions that we have been starting to work on, and I'm back to the question, who gets access to what? I think that there is a definition of responsibility and also the discussion about who is the translation or transliteration of the contact information. So I'm looking into the room if there is anyone willing to pick up that question and have some comments or remarks with regards to that question. Actually, when we say having access, normally we all have through the who is we have access to, if it's not private. Otherwise, we have the contact data being visible in the who is data. The question is when you have access to that data, what is in this case considered having or getting access to? That's one of the questions I have myself, in fact, as the DSMB public. So I would like to know if someone has some thoughts on that. I see no one putting a hand on. Then I think we have to look into yes, I see Jim. Jim, you raised your hand. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Rudy. This is Jim Galvin. I guess in terms of completeness, I'll just offer that the expert working group, the Next Generation Directory Services expert working group, is in fact speaking to precisely this question. So if this is, you know, important to us, I think that we should consider you know, how we're going to align with the work product that's going to come from that group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim, for that information. And indeed, it's something that we already highlighted in the previous calls and the previous meetings. We will need a strong liaison with the other working groups, and especially the expert working group, that would enable us to understand if there is if we have to consider that question in our domain, or we leave it in the expert working group. So that's another approach. I think we have to try to tune the work we have to do with the work that is happening in other working groups in order to not get answers to our question when it's too late, when we are further on the road already. That's one of the dangers I personally see in our mission. That is that we need to track down what we need as information at the right time in order to avoid restarting the whole discussion from eventually the beginning, which would be the worst case. So is there somebody on this call who is active in that expert working group? Yes, Amar, you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Hi, Rudy. This is Amar. I don't believe we have any of the members of the expert working group on this PDP working group. But sure, we should make a study of the status update reports as is right now and just try to see what it is they're proposing and the differences and access to who is data as opposed to the current model. It is very different, and it won't really, according to the expert working group recommendations, access to who will be very different, I suppose. But it is important to bear in mind that we need to also come up with our own recommendations, because my understanding is that there will be a PDP following the expert working group's conclusion and final reports. So nothing that comes out of the expert working group at this point is really set in stone. But we should really keep an eye and make sure that we know what's going on with their recommendations. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. Thinking loud up now, while knowing that the new WHOIS structure will be different from the one we have in front of us now, and knowing that the impact and of our recommendations would not go only to the actual WHOIS, but will probably go to the new structure, I'm just wondering, is that something that we need to highlight as a kind of alert and send it back to GNSO, in the sense that we are asking eventually if there is a consideration we have to take into the work we do in order to avoid that at the end of our work we have to start again because there is something new on the table? Or is that out of the scope of our mission? Maybe some advice from staff in this specific context? Amar, yes, go ahead, Amar.
Hi, Rudy, this is Amar. It's certainly not out of scope, not at all. Our charter does specify that we should be taking a look at other work that is being done on WHOIS, and the expert working group is certainly one of the groups we need to be looking at. And our recommendations as a working group, there's regarding those. I mean, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't also provide those in a context of maybe the existing WHOIS and also in the context of any possible changes. We should really. I mean, we're still starting our work now, and we should keep an eye on the expert working group, and we already have their status update reports. And we should take into consideration all work being done on WHOIS, and we're chartered to do so, so it's certainly not out of scope.
Okay, thank you, Amar, for clarification. I was just hesitating, but I had it also in mind that we cannot put all WHOIS related stuff outside of our scope. It's too important, but it's just a question of timing. If we consider giving a final report as it is scheduled end of this year, and we know that there would be eventually a PDP popping up that would influence our work, then we maybe have to consider in a month or two a review of our working plan in order to adapt and give the correct information in the outreach also. I see patent up. Yes, Petter, you have the floor.
Yes, I'm just saying that we will have the next UNIFA Council meeting later on today. Maybe if we not have the time to prepare any formal questions, but at least to save time, we can take it up briefly on that meeting. We'll save some time.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Peter, for that clarification, that proposal. I see Julie's hand up also. Yes, Julie, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Julie Hedlund. I just wanted to point out that the agenda for the council meeting this afternoon is quite full. Unless there is extra time at the end of the meeting for any other business, I don't anticipate that this item would be able to be raised. Usually what happens is that agenda items for council meetings need to be circulated in advance and approved by the council before the meeting. We would have plenty of time, for example, to be able to get an item on the agenda if we wished for the council meeting on the 27th of February, which is the next council meeting, which if we adjusted our deadlines slightly in our work plan, we could, coincide with, urging the council, which would have received our letter, to then follow up. And of course, we have Ching Chow is our liaison to the GNSO Council, and he could raise this as an agenda item, and in fact, also he can bring any information to the council outside of a council meeting. So Ching could provide a report or provide a request, prior to the council meeting as well. And so just wanted to point that out, that unfortunately it's really doubtful that we would be able to get something on today's meeting, but it might be useful for the next meeting.
Thank you, Julie, for this clarification and additional information on the call today. I know that in the agenda, in the consent agenda, is the presentation of the co-chairs of this PDP working group. So eventually, if the GNSO would not accept the proposal of the co-chairs, then we have to turn back again. So anyway, but I don't think so. Maybe during that moment, Ching or Petro can eventually just highlight that we will have probably some extra thought about the mission and our agenda time on the next GNSO call. I don't know if Ching, you would like to go that way.
Sure. As I mentioned in the Auto V chat, definitely. I'm happy to help.
Okay, thank you very much. So back to the question list. The next question on the list was, who are the stakeholders? Who is affected? And what do they want? Linking back to what? That's a complex question. I think it's also defining who we are and who we need to address and who we don't need to address our specific questions. At least that's my understanding. Does someone have some thoughts on who the stakeholders are in our context? Anyone willing to? Yes, Ching, go ahead. You have the floor.
Sure, Rudy. I will just take. I will just try to take the shot first. So here in China, I believe and others on the call can also share their experiences with the registrar. And I understand that this topic could be covered before, but I don't mind. I mean, if this is okay, I would like to share it again. Is that the registrar actually collects both Chinese and also the transliterated contact information from the registrant. So with or without the consideration if the domain name object itself is an IDN or not, the registrar in China, most of them, if not all, have already started to do so. So let's say a domain name xyz.com. The registrar would prepare the registration form, I mean the web registration form, to allow the registrant to input both Chinese as well as the transliterated contact information, I mean in English. And the registrar will collect those information. Some of the information they were, stored in local for verification and legal purposes, which means that the Chinese part. So those transliterated part they would be posted to the registry to make sure that the registry receive the contact info is complying with whatever is required. So that being said, this is something that has been done by the registrar in China. The model is, once again, put it in the simple way. They collect both Chinese and also the transliterated version of the contact information. Some they're put, I mean, they only save it locally. Some they post to the registry to associate with that particular domain object. Let me stop here. But thanks.
Thank you, Chin, for that very interesting information. And it already raises a question to me. Who is responsible for the transliteration that has been done? Is it the registrar or is it the registrant? Is there any additional acceptance to be done by the registrant at the moment they are filling in the form? Is there a check-off by the registrant about the transliteration or translation of the data? Do you have any information on that?
I can probably answer a little bit, but since I'm not from the registrar side, I can definitely get the proper answer from some of the Chinese registrar that I constantly work with. So far, what they have done, and I'm just sharing my limited knowledge. So first of all, the Chinese part, they will need to verify that for sure, because there's legal requirement by the government that the registrant must provide the most accurate identity and also the registration information of the domain name. So the Chinese part is actually being verified by the registrar. So the transliterated part submitted to the registry, that could be an interesting part, which I don't know. But from time to time, as requested, you know, by ICANN, at the registrar contract is that they'll have to send the notification or the alert email to the registrant to make sure that the registrant fulfills the who is accuracy responsibility. So I guess from that standpoint and from that approach, the registrar, although they did not do anything on the transliterated part, they put the responsibility on the registrant itself to, you know, make sure that they themselves, he or she, provide the accurate contact information.
Thank you very much, Ching. That clarifies a bit, yes. I see Peter and Sarmat in the queue. So, Peter, you have the floor.
Just wanted to recall a bit from what we discussed in the last meeting, and I have sent out some specific questions to three organizations organizing trademark attorneys and trademark holders around the world to get input on how they think it works when it comes to trademarks compared to domain names, and also up from our questions, what they would like to see and in these aspects. I've got some replies, but I plan to hopefully send out a quick summary up on our next meeting. Because I want to have some more inputs on it, but so far I can say it's interesting to see, especially companies coming from countries like China and Japan and Russia, other countries where you normally have an international translation both of domain names and trademarks. So this is a well-known topic, even if there is not 100% solutions of it right now. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Peter. I have Sanmat in the queue, and I have also Pitti Nang. I know that Pitti Nang has sent out a document which we probably can talk about also. So, sum up, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is a question for Ching in response to the information he shared. Questions. First, is there is used to transliteration from China, and this is that, is this whether you know done by the registrant or is using and be if it is the registrant, how the accuracy of this transliteration?
Excuse me, Sama, but your sound was broken up several times, so it not easy to. And what I captured was that you are willing to know if the government has any obligations on the table. Is that correct? Oh, he's going to type it in the chat room. It's used for transliteration. That's the first question. Meanwhile, we can go to Pitti Nang. Yes, you have the floor.
Hello.
You have to unmute.
Okay. Hi. Okay. Okay, thank you. As you guys already know that we submitted the document, sorry for the very immediate short notice for the document. Many of you might not have time to review. Basically, is the draft or proposal of how we, as a GAC team, also as a Thai speaker, see that we should handle about this. So basically, if we really need to convert it into the common language, right, the question is, burden is who have to pay the cost, but it's also how. So we propose some of the how, which is we based on some standard, which is actually already somehow not enforcement, but we already have it there. So maybe it's practical that if each country have the mechanism to standardize how they convert. That's how we see that one of the steps that we need to be done, and that's in the paper, in the summary. So maybe you guys, if you guys have time to review, we can discuss about it next time as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vitanal. Indeed, I have been quickly looking into the document, and it's very clear the way the process is going on. And I would propose that we take this up in our next call, and we go around the information that is in the document. I think it's quite similar to the approach of what's going on in China. So I see the responses to the question of Samat in the chat room. I'm not going to read them, except if someone... Are there people just on the phone bridge and not on the Adobe Connect? Otherwise, we need to go and have a reading of it. I see Julie's hand up. Yes, Julie, you have...
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund. I just wanted to point everyone to something that I put into the chat room and just remind folks that it was also sent to the list. As a separate endeavor, but very much related to the work of this PDP working group, ICANN has commissioned a study to evaluate the available solutions for the submission and display of internationalized contact data. This is the study that Steve Sheng had mentioned in one of our earlier calls, and the study areas seem to overlap with some of the questions that we have been discussing here today and that relate to how registries and registrars handle the display of contact data. In fact, two of the study areas are to document the submission practices of internationalized registration data at a representative set of GTLD and CCTLD registries and registrars, and to do the same with documenting the display practices. And then there are several other questions involved as well that have to do with translation and transliteration. And I won't list them all, but the link is in the chat room, and it also is linked to our wiki under studies and background documents. So that you know, this information arising from this study will feed directly into the work of this PDP working group. So we will have access to a great deal of information relating to whether or not there are standards and how these practices are conducted in various CCTLDs and GTLDs. I'm not saying that it's not useful to get the specific examples that we are getting now from Thailand and China and others. I think those are very, very helpful to our discussion. But I just would note that there is a much larger study being conducted along the same lines.
Thank you very much, Julie, for this additional information. It is quite interesting. For those clicking on the link, you have to eliminate the point that is behind the last word data. Otherwise, you get a page not found response. But what I'm wondering a bit is in what way the board has been requesting this study, if I'm not wrong. In what way does the board know the importance of the PDP working group we are trying to fulfill here? As having another study going on, that means that or we wait till we see the output of the study, or we give input to the study in the sense that we have already done some work. It's a bit unclear to me in what sense this goes together with the work we are doing. I see Julie's hand up. You may probably clarify a bit.
Thank you very much, Rudy. Just a little bit of brief background. The board is very much aware of this particular PDP working group, and in fact, it was a board mandate that created this PDP working group, along with the expert working group on GTLD directory services, and also the expert working group that Jim Galvin is leading on the model, the data model, and the study is meant to coincide with the work of this PDP working group, and it is meant to be completed in time for this PDP working group to be able to take those data into consideration. So these are very coordinated efforts. It's just a little confusing because the board, I believe it was on November 8th of the last year, no, year before, pardon me, basically made a mandate initiating all of these efforts, but not all are PDPs. Some are expert working groups that could result in PDPs. Ours is the only PDP working group, and yet we are trying as staff to do our best to make sure that all of these efforts are coordinated. And to that end, I would like to ask whether or not this working group would be interested to hear from Margie Milam. She is the staff support for the expert working group for that is looking into the TLD directory services, and which you know is related and is considering some of the questions we have here. I could see if she would be able to give us an update perhaps at our next meeting if this working group is interested.
Thank you, Julie. A very good proposal. And I would say yes. Personally, I would be really appreciating having some input from that expert working group from Margie on our next call. And maybe another request is in what way could we eventually have a meeting with the study group in Singapore, the study that we were just talking about. I don't know if that's a possibility, but I'm just wondering. Yes, Julie, go ahead.
So I can go ahead. I'll lower my hand. I forgot to do that. But I will ask Steve Sheng what is the availability of the study group and whether or not they will be in Singapore. And in fact, perhaps it might be useful for us to meet via teleconference sooner than that, depending on where they are with their work.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much, Julie. We are already 1 hour on the call. I think that we covered already a lot today also, and we have some action items on our list. We have already 4 action items. I don't know if there are additional comments on the question list up till the point we were coming today. I think that even the other questions on the list are somewhere covered also about what we are discussing. I would propose that the next call we jump in the specific information that we meanwhile received from Peter and the information that we received from Ching today also in the call, that we try to gather this information together in order to define some targets that we have to keep in mind, and that we, for the next call, try to invite Margie give us some input from the expert working group. I don't know if there are others that we have to consider. Otherwise, we could organize our next call in that way, that in that sense that we have input from outside coming into our discussions, allowing us to have a broader thought on mission. With that, we are coming to the number 7 of the agenda, all other business. Is there anything else we need to talk about? Is there anybody having some extra questions, remarks, comments? I don't see any at this moment. I see Justin Chu has requested the work plan timeline for the working group. We have to wait till we get some input from Margie, I think, in order to be able to know the status and the deadlines. Next call in January, it will be Chinese New Year's Eve. As the meetings were scheduled up front, are there any other participants on the call that could not join us on the next week call? Because that's too important. There are some regions that really very important in our discussion. If there are some difficulties, I'm just wondering, Julia or Lars, should we keep that in mind and eventually reschedule the meeting? It's a question to first Julia and Lars, if there is technically something we have to do about, and at the other point, if there are too many not being able to join, maybe it doesn't make sense to have that call. Yes, Julie, go ahead.
As you can imagine, it's quite difficult to find a time that works for everyone for these calls. So usually what happens is if there are conflicts for a particular call where many people cannot join, then we would just skip that call and proceed to the next week. I think we do have some things that we need to get done, particularly we need to finalize the letter, for the SOs and ACs and in particular for the GAC. But if we can do that via the list, and I can send that out as an action item today, then conceivably we could indeed skip next week's meeting and then just move on to the following meeting, which would be Thursday, February 6th, if the work group agrees.
Thank you, Julie. Maybe we can drop it on the mailing list, ask for those who cannot be there, so that at the end we have a decision. We can take a decision before the weekend and consider having the call, yes or no. Because it indeed influences our activity for the letter that has to go out. And I will also be out of the country. I will be in L.A., in Los Angeles, next week, till 13th in the evening, indeed. So it is possible that I could not join also. Can we consider it that way, that we ask on the list who cannot join, and that we close the decision on Friday evening in order to enable us to have the call, yes or no? Julie, you still have your hand.
To just to respond to that, actually it might be easier because sometimes people don't respond when we ask for RSVPs, to simply have people indicate whether they object to having a meeting canceled next week, and if we receive no objections, then we'll proceed to cancel the meeting.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Julie. So if we have no other questions or points to put on the discussion today. I would like to thank you all for the participation. Oh, sorry, I see Amar. Yes, Amar, you have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy. I was just going to say that if we're not going to have a call next week, I would also think it might be a good idea to work on the questions via the list. And I was hoping we could, I'm assuming that we're all in agreement that these are the questions we would like to answer as a working group. If maybe we could start breaking them down in order to do this instead of just having discussions on them. I think that these questions can be sort of refined into maybe sub-topics, sub-points. I can try to work on that a little bit over this next week. I'm just thinking in terms of 2 weeks without a call, we should really try to get something apart from the letters done in this period. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. Very good proposal. We could indeed start working, and in fact, we have already got some first reactions, for instance, by picking on giving us some input from her country. Indeed, I will talk to Chris maybe later today or otherwise tomorrow and try to plan something and put it on the mailing list in order to have activities in between if we are skipping the next call. So far. I think it's too important, and there are too much things going on. By having had these last comments, I would like to thank you all for your participation, and I'm looking forward to the responses to the list, first of all, and also to any additional input that you can give. The wiki space is there for us. It's not there because of ICANN, but it's also a space where we can work on. So I'm looking forward to see responses popping up in the wiki space too. So thanks again. Up to next call.
Thank you very much, Wendy. We now stop the recording.